Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082. Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station and friends of Sheffield Live.
Yeah, this is Sweet Talking Sports on Friday evening, the 27th, the first Friday after Christmas. And, you know, hope that everybody had a wicked time. Yeah. Just want to say that I've got the man called CV, who's live and direct.
Evening.
And you might be wondering, what's happened to the one called G, but... You know, let me tell you something about G. You know, he was delivering kind of like some Christmas presents in the communities for the young ones. And a couple of reindeers kind of ran off. So he's kind of delayed. And if he comes back, we'll let you know. So, yes, G, hope that you get a safe kind of return. You know what I mean? You know? So... The man called G, don't present, but hopefully it'll pass through soon.
Depend respite.
You know?
Yeah.
100%, definitely. Just want to say that, did you watch the boxing at the boxing, Usyk and Tyson,
rematch? Yeah,
what did you think to that?
I thought Usyk, me personally, I thought Usyk was... I'd won the fight. It produced more punches. I thought at times Fury were kind of, I don't know, sat back. He didn't really throw as many punches as Usyk. So for me, I thought Usyk had won that. But I know out there other people say nah, Tyson. But I don't see what Tyson actually did to convince people to say that he'd won it.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember just before the press conference, the main one, when Tyson was saying, look, you know, if they're going to pay me dollars, I'm going to take it. I'm here for the money. And I just think that he's lost that kind of edge of, or met his match, you know, met his match, because Tyson was saying, yeah, I'm just in it for the dollars. You know what I mean? And yeah, he no doubt he would have trained and stuff. But just like a showman now, he's just going to collect his dollars. If they're going to pay him that amount of money, who can blame him?
Yeah, I understand that. When you said for the dollars, I understand that. But in a little bit of pride as well, you want them belts back, don't you?
Do you know what? I think he's beyond that, and that's why I'm saying I think that he's met his match in Usyk. I don't think he can get past him.
No, I don't think so.
And I think he realizes that,
yeah,
and so he's gone into the pantomime mode.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Because, like, you know, he's been there, but he's been knocked off his pedestal now.
He has.
Usyk is.
He's number one.
On the planet.
That's right. He's number one. You know? He's Dan Gargan number one.
Yeah. And nobody can take that bunny.
Yeah. Yeah, because my man, did you see my boy who did knock down the EJ?
Yeah.
What you call him there?
Daniel. The boy.
Yeah, that the one there. He come about him myself to Usyk, but he want a piece of him and all them something there, but you know what? Usyk will might hurt him, you know. It might hurt him. But having said that, when they did fight that time before...
Him rock him.
He did, yeah.
He rock him, innit?
Yeah. He did, I've got to say that. If the referee did do the rules then proper...
Yeah, yeah.
It could have been a different story. So, you know what? I might have to dress back a little bit and just think...
I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting fight, that one. At the moment, I've still got Usyk down for me. You know, I think Usyk's laid down his marker for years to come. But it's not going to be an easy scrap. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. You're right.
You know, because I think Daniel be saying, listen, yeah, I want it. You know what I mean? And he's got youth on his side, hasn't he?
Plus,
he's got the youth on his side.
And in his head, he'll be thinking, yo.
Yeah.
Maybe the cheer up a little bit before. You know, like a hot cheek there. And they cheek him up. So, yeah, you never know.
I mean, it certainly makes the heavyweight division kind of a little bit interesting because, I mean, like, what's left for Tyson? Joshua?
That's the only one.
Isn't it?
That's the only one. That's for everybody else.
Yeah, that's the only fight left for him. Oh. And I think after that one, he probably will retire. He don't really need to fight anymore. He don't really need to prove himself anymore. Do you know what I mean? He's had the titles. He's done that.
He has.
And I think that fight against AJ is what the people then want out there.
Well, the British people then want.
Yeah, that's what they want out there.
The British people then want. Because they really want to see who is number one. But number one at the moment is my man.
Yeah, yeah. And that could be at Wembley, that one. I don't think they need to go over to
Saudi.
Yeah, to have a scrap for that. You know what I mean? I think they can just deal with that here.
Yeah.
So that's probably the only fight left for him, and probably for EJ too.
Yeah, because
to get him name back.
I'll for my man there. I'll for Dylan. Dylan just a come in and about him want touch up EJ, but I know nothing fight that they've already done fight. You know them. They're already with them. How much gosh. Fight them? Fight them too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just getting getting like their movie, there, ain't it? Like Rocky 215.
Yeah, then you could see there.
It starts to get a little bit stupid, really.
Yeah.
You know, for real. And then for Du Bois and Usyk, that's the revenge, isn't it? You know, but I like how Du Bois drops it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I want to fight him. I'll brook him up. He's just raw upon it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he don't bother dress it up at all. And I know that I've mentioned it before on here, and I've said that when he beat up EJ, I'll do it again. Yeah, no problem. I mean, it's like, been to Brazil on the beach, just relaxing. Great. It's great. You know what I mean? Yeah, I love the way the boy talk, man. You know what I mean? He just drops it, man, how it is. You got to take your cap off to that guy.
Yeah, I must admit.
But I think, to be fair, they're probably two of the big fights that people want to see in 25. You know? Yeah, Josh against Tyson, and both of them could just retire after that. Do you know what I mean? Because again, what's left for Joshua?
I mean, he would
want to beat Tyson, forget him name back.
Unless he want to go back up against my boy, up against Daniel.
Boy, in a the lion's den.
Yeah, he might.
Daniel will yam him up, innit?
He might think to himself, boy, that was a bit of luck. That was one if I'm going to prepare myself ready now for launching at you. You know, like the racket there, just to launching at him, right? But, I still feel Daniel would do a little touch-up on him.
Yeah, definitely. I think, be the same again. And, I think Daniel will probably, tell the people, say, exactly the same, you know? So, if AJ's got any sense, he'd keep away from him, from them left and right, you know, because when Daniel delivered them, why, he could just put him to sleep. You know what I mean? He just put him to sleep, Rasta. You know what I mean?
Lord have mercy.
So, yeah, but I've been looking forward to them two fights, and also not forgetting the two women them, Katie Taylor against Amanda Serrano. You know, that was a good fight. I had Amanda Serrano I had her down to win that one, to be honest with you, but you know, we got no control when them judges want to fudge up things.
Well, I never saw the fact, but I heard a little controversy about Taylor, like a little dude, some little headbutting and
yeah, she was in that. Yeah, she's into that.
That's what you're saying, like.
She reminded me of them kind of hooligan. You know them hooligan boy there.
Well,
you know?
I don't know about them kind of thing there, but you know. I don't know about them things, but you know, you might have to explain to me what you mean. But man, what you mean?
We'll deal with that off air, because
it's not
for this time that, you know what I mean. But yeah, off air we'll kind of like put the record straight with that. But yeah, I mean Taylor, yeah, like you say, it's true. She's renowned for that. I saw it myself.
That's what they were saying.
And she's not gonna admit it. She said it happens.
Yes.
You know them clashes.
Yeah,
that's like
in the interview when I saw her, she was admitting, saying that, you know,
litigation. Yeah,
these things part of the do game. Happen,
it's part of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, top fight. I mean, I know you said that you can't see it, but if you've got chance, YouTube. Yeah, go to YouTube. And you can check it out on there, So, yeah, three big, massive fights there for 24. I'd like to see them again. And probably because, you know, they're paying out the dollars and that the promoters are putting up the fight. They know that they're going to get the change back and that. So, yeah, I think we'll probably be seeing that all again as well. But, yeah, if you've just tuned in, listen to Sweet Talking Sport, got CV here. G, like I said, had problems with a couple of reindeer, and I believe that his saddle couple them up. You know what I mean? So, if he makes it, you know, we'll let you know. Yeah.
Depan respite, man. Respite him, Depan.
Yeah. Do you want to go into a bit of cricket? It was getting all hot and spicy in Australia, Melbourne. Australia v India, and the reason why I say we're getting hot and spicy is because like one of the Indian guys bounced into bumped shoulders with the Australian player. Now a lot of you probably won't have seen this, but you know there was a clash of shoulders with the Constance at the end of the 10th over, with the former Indian captain appearing to change direction slightly to make contact as a 19-year-old walked down the pitch to speak to his batting partner. The pair exchanged words. It looked like it were getting quite feisty out there as well, before the umpires and, you know, some of... his teammates was calmed down the situation. The match referee said Kohli, who's 36, had breached international cricket rules, which is the ICC guidelines about inappropriate physical contact. Now, who would have thought in cricket you're getting physical contact? Yeah? But, you know, it was... It was kind of like
that, they've had that before, you know. They've had that before.
Where they kind of
like with the
sledging
with the sledging and stuff like that. Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah.
You've got it on screen now, I've seen that before. Where they kind of like sledging and whatever, and they eyeing each other up and that. I have seen that before.
I mean, you know, it was. Like I said, you wouldn't have thought that in cricket. You know, it's a non-contact sport.
It is.
You know what I mean? I'd love to know what exactly they said to each other. Do you know what I mean?
He might have said that was a good shot.
he might have said I shot your box. You know what I mean? more like I shot your box. You know what I mean? number. You know, but
he might have said, you know what, mate, what did you think to that shot? And he'll have said, not very good, you know. And then my man might have took offence to that and bunked him up in his chest.
You know, I mean, yeah, Coley, I mean, he got a fine for that, as well as incurring a one sort of like point also as well. But the free play and the fifth and the final test in Sydney next month, the ICC said Coley had accepted his punishment. I like how they use that word, innit? Punishment. You know what I mean? You know? And, you know, his formal disciplinary hearing was required. Constance, making his test debut, went on to hit 60 in that innings from 65 balls to help the Aussies reach 311 for six at the close of play. I mean, so you got Constance making his debut and already getting into some kind of like, right, physical.
I mean,
all right, so the Indian player's got a fine and stuff, but this says nothing about the Australian man at all. I mean, you know, he could have moved out of the way and said, you know, what's this all about?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So I think he's part of that. He's definitely part of that. You know what I mean? But I don't think for 1 minute that's the end of it. So, you know, it's like I say, it's all getting a little bit heated up, you know? 18 minutes past six, listen to Sweet Talking Sport. I've got CV right here live and direct. You know? Pan what? Pan leave, you know? So that's why there's only the two away. I mean, you know, from a bit of argy-bargy to another one. And it's also happening in basketball as well. Embiid was ejected after confrontation with a referee, you know? So Philadelphia 76ers star Joel Embiid was ejected from his team 111-106 win against the San Antonio Spurs after confrontation with a referee. He was given a third foul against him by referee Jenna Schroeder when he charged Victor, knocking the Frenchman to the ground. So, I mean, enough kind of physical contact there. And after 59 seconds remaining, only in the first half on the clock, the 76ers players argued the call with the referee. He had to be restrained, you know, and he ripped off his... He's got this kind of protective mask
on his face.
Yeah, he ripped that off in protest, leading to two technical fouls and ejection from the match. I mean, you know, I mean, let's hope that the referee's, you know, not really shaken up too bad. And I think his punishment is probably severe because, you know, maybe it was kind of like a female referee.
Yeah, and it looks intimidating, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously people, the listeners can't see this, but, you know, he towers over the referee. I mean, this guy must be 8+ and counting.
Yeah, she's only,
you know?
She's only a little, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a little bit, you know? Yeah, a little bit, like, you know? So, you know, it's kind of... I mean, even in the mask, it's kind of... It looks frightening anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And a big man like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he should have a little...
Control himself a little bit.
To be fair, he does. He's a professional, isn't he?
Yeah.
And that's not how professionals act.
I mean, Tyrese Maxey produced 32 points in that, 10 rebounds and 8 assists to inspire Philadelphia to victory. While Wembanyama managed 26, 9 rebounds and 8 block shots. Elsewhere, regaining NBA champion, the Boston Celtics, who led by 15 points at halftime, suffered a 108-104 defeat by the Orlando Magic. So, you know, some argy-bargy, inadequate cricket, tempers flying out, you know,
in a basketball,
in a basketball too. What's going on? All this kind of like, and it's supposed to be, you know, this season.
It should be,
you know,
of love and peace, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Christmas time, isn't it?
You know,
mistletoe and wine.
Weird. Mistletoe and wine. It's all coming out here. Mistletoe and wine. Love that cut, you know. I tell you what, we've got. I mean, this might be a cause for concern, really, because you know we had Emma Bomberich, didn't we, from Chelsea?
Are you about the owner?
Yeah, you know the ex-owner from
the Russian.
Yeah, that's right.
Russian a la carte.
Yeah, because he had connections, didn't he?
With the Russian, that's what they said. That's what they
stuff,
said.
And you know, was sanctioned by the government.
Yeah,
namely because obviously his links with Putin.
That's right.
For invading Ukraine.
Yeah.
So Amabrich, put money into football.
Mm.
He's actually being pardoned now. By the king. So,
all right.
I just think that what else is going on with this something there? You know what I mean?
So so Charles has pardoned Abramovich.
Yep, that's right. I mean, King Charles grants pardon to Abramovich, and you know, shocking return to the Prem. Is he going to be the next one to reinvest into a Premier League club again, you know?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't sit right, this, with a lot of people. But listen to this.
Roman Abramovich, a royal pardon, permitting the renowned billionaire to re-enter the United Kingdom and regain access to his assets. This monumental decision marks a significant shift in the narrative surrounding Abramovich, who had faced extensive sanctions and restrictions in the wake of geopolitical tensions. The pardon, reportedly influenced by Abramovich's philanthropic efforts and mediation roles during critical negotiations, signals a potential thaw in relations. His return not only reopens doors for personal ventures but also raises questions about his future involvement in high-profile UK-based investments, including sports and real estate. The former Chelsea FC owner, once synonymous with transforming the club into a global powerhouse, might now eye new opportunities or rekindle old ties. Speculation is already rife about the implications of this decision. Will Abramovich seek to reinvest in English football, or will he channel his focus into other ventures? The move has sparked mixed reactions across the political and public spectrum, with supporters lauding the humanitarian undertones of the pardon, while critics question the broader geopolitical ramifications. This development promises to dominate headlines in the coming weeks as the UK reconsiders its stance on high-profile figures like Abramovich. What?
Yeah, so he's back, and you know, courtesy of you know who, you know, the king, you know what I mean? Say, yo, come true, you know what I mean? So I just think that there's there's a little bit more to that, isn't there? There's a little bit more to that.
I don't know. I don't really want to. I don't want to say too much, you know, because you know, like them Russian man out there, and they might put little poison on me and
spice
and talk. Hey, hey,
hey!
You know about them man there? Who them put little poison on them, and the next minute they're gone. I'm not saying not a word, me.
Do you know something? Yeah. Just leave Starbucks and Costa you know, them coffee shop. Just leave them alone.
I'm
you
not
know,
say nothing, me.
Yeah.
Because you know, walls have ears. So you know, whatever him said to Charlo, and Charlo said, "All right, come in, Abramovich. Now you're cool. you just have to let it go, innit?
You know, yeah, it's kind of like, I just don't get it at all, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever next, you know what I mean?
Because there was big things about him, innit? They were just run him out of town, innit?
Yeah, run him out quick time.
And then now...
And him surrender the goods and everything.
That's right, everything,
taking
yeah.
Khan and Ghana now.
That's right.
You know, and that was only, what, in 22?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, a couple of years later,
no,
Charlie just... It just doesn't happen overnight, that. There's things happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know, say, my money bags, innit?
Yeah, you know?
Will that kind of strengthen the UK with Russia? You know, them link, them superpower link there.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And keep things on a level. Mm-hmm. And somebody's got some kind of backhander as well. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not going to say too much. I said, because... I don't want no backlash on me. So.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, I mean, yeah, we also know that, you know, he made his Cornwall Ireland stuff and some backhanders and that. And the Prime Minister, Boris, said they can't, no safe haven for people out there, so.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
And Boris said that. Mm-hmm. And look where him there now. Where him there now.
Well, Boris, well, you know, they do the same thing to him too. Rush him. Rush him. And tell him, say, yo, you have to come out as well, Boris, too. So them just rush him and kick him out. And then bring in, I can't even remember who them bring in. They must be bringing about two or three different people, innit? So, I mean, also the last one was Richie, innit?
You know? So, it's kind of like, that's kind of like in very interesting story there. You know what I mean? To kind of like follow. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, also now, what I want to go through is to chat about athletics. The Aussie teenage sensation is becoming the rising star in the sprinting world. And this guy has kind of like broke kind of like enough records. Very kind of like fast, and he's, we call him now, Goat, smashes Usain Bolt's record, the 16-year-old world record in the 200 meters. And I know you, obviously, you know, you can't see this on screen, but like, you know, he's kind of electric.
In Australia, and we've talked about him a lot over the past couple of months, but that's because this kid is genuinely the future of sprinting. In this year's Australian All-School Championships, we saw the teenage sensation, Gout, set the track on fire. In the 100 meters, he ran an unbelievable time of 10.04, followed by 10.17, where he became one of the fastest youth sprinters of all time. But that really doesn't even come close to what he just did in the 200 meters, because this 16-year-old just did something so historic that I don't think this has ever been done in track and field history. For this 200-meter final, Gout was certainly the favorite. In fact, I don't think it's a stretch to say that if he lost, that it would have shocked the entire stadium. And after a fair start, he got out with the field pretty well, as he typically does. But just look at this final 100 meters.
The next person left to keep running. He's absolutely gone. He's Gout of this world. 20.07.
This is shifting into a brand new level of speed that I don't think anyone at his age has ever attained. And after crossing through the tape, he saw the time of 20.07 seconds flash on the screen, which would actually already rank him as the second fastest Australian of all time. However, after a few minutes, that time was lowered, and it was lowered to 20.04. And ladies and gentlemen, the wind was legal. We just saw this 16-year-old break the national Australian record in the 200 meters, taking down the previous record of Peter Norman, who ran a time of 20.06 seconds all the way back in the 1968 Olympics. And that time was fast enough for the silver medal. This was genuinely one of the most shocking races that I have seen in a very, very long time. Coming into this race, his previous personal record was 20.29, which he ran about a month ago, and that time was actually fast enough to rank him number 4 all time on the world youth list. But guess what just happened? We just saw Gout break the 16-year-old world record, because the previous time was held by a pretty special sprinter. That's right. It was held by Usain Bolt, whose time of 20.13 seconds was the previous 16-year-old world record. This is insane. Gout just took down the objective greatest sprinter of all time from his teenage years. But he didn't quite get the world youth record, as that time still stands with Arion Knighton at 19.84. But Knighton did achieve that time when he was 17, back in the 2021 Olympic Trials. But we really need to sit back and appreciate what we just saw from this 16-year-old Gout. I would love for someone to be able to calculate what this man's splits just were. I doubt he ran that fast over the opening 100. It was probably somewhere around 10.8 or 10.9, 10.7, something like that. But his final 100 meters...
Yeah, what a kind of like massive talent that is. Goat.
I would have to say, this guy looks unbelievable from the little bits I've just seen on here. He looks deadly. It looks like he'll be breaking all kind of records, him, because he's very quick. And he's, and what, he's born in Australia?
Yes, I'm sure says Australian born, you know?
Right, okay.
And I was kind of like listening to this woman who was his coach, and she said that he's kind of very grounded, does what he's told, disciplined, and I'm very much focused, you know, and he is goat.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't forget that name, you know, goat, double barrel, you know, double barrel, like silver bullet, you know.
And then fast too, innit?
Yeah.
Silver bullet fast. Goat.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
be somebody to look up that, really.
Yeah. And I mean, Usain Bolt, Mafi just bow, you know, Mafi bow to that youth there.
Yeah.
You know, because dangerous smaddy that, you know.
He looks deadly.
Dangerous.
It does look deadly.
And I'll tell you what, you'll not get no odds on him in any race. You know, the odds will be stupid. You know, it won't be worth a bet because he's going to blow it away. I think if you was going to place a bet on him, you'd probably say that he's going to, every race, he's going to bust a world record.
Yeah, because he does. He looks a very talented young man.
I wouldn't get that speed from him, you know.
What must say, appearance, isn't it?
Boy, I'm fast though, you know.
Yeah, he's fast. Yeah. His father was like cheetah, you know. No, serious. His father was like cheetah. And you know, cheetah them quick, innit?
So, 100%, you know. But yeah, in the athletic world, you need to watch out for goat. because a dangerous smaddy that, you know. May I show you that? You know? May I show you that? But yeah, on to from goat to Dwight York. And I've been wanting to big this up for a while, but you know, we cover that many topics on here, sometimes it just gets override. But like, enough respect going out to Dwight York, who's the head coach of Trinidad and Tobago.
Right.
You know,
that's interesting.
He's been appointed as the manager. Dwight York, 72 caps for Trinidad and Tobago back in 89. to 2009, scoring 19 goals and captaining them at the 2006 World Cup final. Previously had spells as his country's assistant manager after retiring from playing back in 2009. It's York's second job as manager, having managed the Australia A-League side for a little period back in, that was only last season. And York, he says, is proud to receive the honour of the leading Trinidad and Tobago national team. It's a great opportunity. And he says, you know, they've got talent and something he's looking forward to. Now, I know that he took his team to Saudi and they played a friendly and they went down 3-1. But Yorkie was just saying that, you know, he learnt a lot. He said that they had to overcome many obstacles because they're travelling, time to get his squad together. But he said that he was fairly pleased in how they actually performed. I mean, he was a handful, Dwight York, in his playing days. Not true.
Yeah. I've got to admit, at certain times, I never did really like him at certain times. You know, when he was coming up against us, him and that wonder called Cole.
I mean, for anybody who, you know, when CV said that, coming up against us, for anybody, any new listeners out there, obviously we've got a City fan. And we're not talking about a City club, we're talking about Manchester City. And, you know, so just kind of just square that. Yeah, sorry, CV.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, when them two was up front, they were devastating. Absolutely devastating. You knew that you were coming up against two world-class strikers. And York were there. York and Cole, they just fed off each other. Right? And then you'd have the little time when Teddy come in. You know when Teddy come
Sheringham.
In? Yeah, when Teddy come in, like. But they were just deadly, them two. Seriously, deadly. And him, my man, York, yeah, I've got to give him credit. He's a good player. And to be fair, he was a good player at Villa as well. He was a good player at Villa.
We just wish Dwight York all the very best in...
I hope he does well in his
managing career.
Yeah, I do.
And I'll just play a little bit of this as well, actually.
National team Dwight York. First international game, Dwight, away, long way away from home. We're in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, but this is not stranger surroundings for you. You're accustomed in here. But tell us how you felt about the game today. We know it's a 3-1 defeat, but still a lot that we could take from this.
Yeah, well, first to begin with, a real proud moment for me as the head coach of Trinidad and Tobago national team to really be given the opportunity to come to Saudi Arabia. Out of the international window, which means that there are some challenges to get here. The time in being here was only 2 days to assemble these players, who some of them obviously not in full activities when it comes to football, but were prepared to travel the distance for 2 days to come and play this really international. And I have to say, despite the defeat, I was delighted with the team attitude and performance. And there's so much positive. Yes, there are some negatives involved. But I look for attitude and positive reason to try and build this team in a much stronger place. And everyone knows what we are aiming to try and achieve in my time.
One exercise when you brought sanctuary players,
yep,
and you use the opportunity to make changes.
Yeah, so just... I'd just give you a little clip of, you know, Dwight York, little chat. So, his first international, like he said, he went down 3-1, but it gave him, you know, an opportunity to look at certain players. He's got a big, massive job in front of him. But, you know, we wish him all the very best. And from one former Man U player to another one. And it's just like, I just want to talk about the decline of Rashford, and we know that he's suffered a little bit of mental health in the past as well. And I just think that is the more than this, because, you know, the new boss has come in, head coach Ruben Amorim, and he said that basically that he's not really seen enough of Rashford in training. He says his body language and stuff, his attitude is not good. But can you assess a playing 2 minutes? Do you know what I mean? I mean, does he really understand what Rashford's been through? And I'm just thinking, do you know what? You've took the reins. You've been in charge 2 minutes, and yes, quite rightly, okay, you're calling the shots. But to kind of like come out and say, you know, he's left him out in the cold. His attitude is he's not impressed in training. He's down in the pecking order. And then you know the press have said, you know, where's Rashford? Where is he? And Ruben said, well, if he's not here, it's clear. Where him there? You know what I mean? I just think that, I think you need to be a longer than that. Unless he's been in contact with the previous boss.
Right.
And said, you know,
what's you like?
Who do I need to get rid? Yeah. You know,
I can't see him doing that myself, really. Because, really, it's like you've said, that man's opinion of that player, that's his opinion. Really, you should be going in there, like you've said, like he has said, that, oh, he is giving everybody a chance. I mean, even my man, who plays at the back, in defence for them, right? An old man, what do they call him now, who's coming, he played recently at the back for them.
Oh, I was going to say Maguire, but it's not.
No, he's had a game. They've played him.
Oh, Evans, you're talking Evans, about. Johnny. Right. Yeah.
Right. All these men, they weren't playing when my man were there.
True.
They weren't playing, but he's come in and said, listen, I'm going to give each man a tryout. Right? So, he's gave all them men, and but Marcus, I don't know. I don't know if Marcus is not showing him the right frame of mind, not showing him, I don't know, through his body language that he's not feeling him. I don't know. But when he dropped him out of the game against us, again, go back, when he played against City, right, I thought to myself, hey, that's a bit funny, that. He's not playing Marcus Rashford. Something's gone off there, right? But the thing was, they got their little lucky win, didn't they? Right? They got that little lucky win. And that's kind of backed up what the manager's done by him saying, well, look, Marcus didn't play, but we still won.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So,
I mean, you know, if we go a little bit deep in that, I mean, he's been at, I'm kind of like on Rashford's side, to be honest with you, because, I mean, to have, you know, I mean, yeah, everybody's got mental health, is the way how you manage it, but, you know, to be hit how Marcus was, and we know the celebration when he scores a goal, innit, it just points to his head, you know, like to say, you know, make sure, say that that's right. He sends out a message. I mean, he's been at Manchester United now since what, the age of seven,
from a youth,
you know, from a youth boy,
from a youth,
he's been there.
Yeah.
So I think you can pick at different things, you know, and then you go from one extreme to another one. Being dropped down the pecking order. I mean, don't forget, the guy's on what? 200 toes.
A week.
A week.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be in a rush to come out of that place.
No.
You know?
No.
And, you know, so all these pundits are saying it's time for him to move on. You know, he needs a new challenge. Yeah, I agree with that. But we're going to find that.
Yeah, but
if you buy your bun and cheese on your planting that weekend. You know what I mean?
He said that, didn't he? Himself. He's ready for the,
I think,
move
he's
on.
Had to say that now. I think, yeah, he, you know, to be fair,
he said that, because he's ready for the move on.
I don't think he really fits in there now.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, no.
And
no.
So, but he needs to put himself out there. He's not going to collect that amount of dollars.
I think,
and like say, Phil Jones, Johnny Evans, Maguire, Rashford, they're all on them big contracts. You don't see him wanting out straight away. They will sit down and draw them partner, innit? You know what I mean? They will just sit down and draw the partner. You know, because, you know, like their mama say, where you go? You make your bed, you lie in it. You know what I mean? So that just kind of like sits tough as a youth. You know what I mean? His mother must have said to him, Marcus, you better think what you're doing, you know? Because you now get that money elsewhere. Marcus said, yes, mommy, you're right. Mm-hmm. Let me sit down here. It's true. You know what I mean?
Because I don't know which of the teams what would pay him that.
Why?
Because some people are talking about Arsenal, him going to Arsenal.
I couldn't see him doing that. Unless he was tearing it up in the Premiership, but he's not at the moment. I'm not saying that he's not capable of reaching them heights again, but
really, you know what? He could go to Arsenal, you know. Because, remember, they brought Raheem. And Raheem's not saying one. He's not saying one. And so, really... He could go to Arsenal, really. But you, as you quite rightly say, he won't get them big payments, them big dollars.
Yeah,
he won't get them big dollars.
I mean, you know, the guy's still 27. He's still got enough kind of like seasons left in him. You know what I mean? He's the youngest player to bus go for England and that. His last cap. When was his last cap? Maybe before the Europeans, I think. Last cap was against Brazil, and that was a friendly. So he's got 60 caps, 100 goals. Rashford at the moment, I think he just wants. He's probably like one of them players what needs an arm round him. He don't need his boss saying that. Do you know what? His body language ain't doing it for me. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't really know what he's been through, and being you know at the club for 2 minutes, you know what I mean?
Maybe you're right. You could be right. But at the end of the day, my man's the manager. Do you know what I mean? Right, and if he don't feel this player's gonna fit in for him,
it's
time to get rid.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, yeah, who can blame Rashford for saying that? Yeah, you know, he's, like CV says, you know, he's ready for a new challenge. He said that, it's his boyhood club. You know, he's kind of like being left out against when they played Wolves, got left out there. Defeat against Tottenham and Bournemouth. Amarone said he refused to involve him due to his poor performance in training. So, who knows what Rashford's bringing to the table in training? You know what I mean? Maybe he needs to just take him to one side and say, listen, I've noticed in training you haven't been on it. Can I help you? You know what I mean? But he's gone the other way. He's done a 180 and said, listen, I don't like this youth's attitude. You know what I mean? So until he fixes up and that, not playing.
True.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it's. I think it's so easy to read into what managers say. Oh, his attitude's not there. But I bet if you were chatting to some of them Man U supporters, I bet they'd tell you a different story as well.
They have on a rival station. They have been talking to some United fans, and a lot of United fans have said, "Yeah, it's time for him to go."
But I think a lot of fans. I mean, I might be out of term here, but I don't business right now. A shallow when it comes to talking football, because
you don't need to tell me that.
You know what I mean? I think they just forget. You know, like
the previous things people have done for you.
I mean, such as like you know, I'll just fire a bullet here, a silver bullet, like the captain. What's happened to United? Do you know what I mean? First defeat, and we had Christmas. Come on, Captain, man. Cheer pop, no? Cheer pop, no? Right, I beg you for cheer pop.
That's what... That,
you, I this get is what that. I mean. I get fans that. Can I
mean,
be shallow.
I get that because, I mean... You know? I know exactly where you're coming from. Because you've got other people talking about other people's teams, aren't you? And their teams are not even... They're not even in the same... They're not even... I mean, you've got other people talking about, oh, your team, right, is... They're not playing like champions, right? Well, at the end of the day, we all know they're not playing like champions. But as I've said before, and I've said it on this program before, City, right? If City don't win the league this season, it's not the end of the world. It's not. And I've said it before. Like the captain said to me about, we're talking about now. You know, he sent a message telling me about, oh, we're talking about now, the present. So I had to ask him and remind him and say to him, who at this present moment of time is the Premier League champions? Who is it at the moment? So we're talking about now. Who is, at present is the Premier League champions? I only have to say it. City.
You know,
and we've been in that position 6 times out of 7 of the seasons. So if we don't win it this season, who's to say what's going to happen last season? Because just let me just say to you, my co-pilot, right? It happened before, and I said it on the radio last week. It's happened before. We finished 18 points behind Liverpool. That's a lot of points to finish, and we finished second, right? But then what happened the season afterwards? Who won it? We won it. And then the season after that, we won it. And yeah, the season after that, we won it. So, you know,
can remember that the before a ball was kicked and we were saying who we thought was going to win the Premiership. I mean, I said Arsenal.
You did.
You know, and it's like, you know, we're just kind of like going to delve into where they are now. Currently lying fourth. All right, yeah, they're dropping a few points, inconsistent results. Saka's out, hamstring.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For a while, he's out for a while.
And, you know, obviously I said them at the start. I still said that they're going to be there and thereabouts.
I would say so, yeah.
Who did you say that was going to win? Did you back for your team?
I said that we'd have a chance.
Okay.
I said we'd have a chance, but I said Arsenal would be there. Okay. I never mentioned Liverpool.
Can you remember what G said?
I don't remember what he said, to be truthful.
G, if you're dead on it, just send we a text right now.
I don't remember what he said.
You know, your opinion is needed. So call in the man called G. Where you there? You know?
As I say, I don't remember what he said, but I definitely remember... You were saying to me that Arsenal,
100%.
And I said to you, we'd have a chance, but I didn't say that we openly that we'd win.
Yeah, yeah.
And I must have, and I've got to say this again to some people who at work, they would back me up. They would say, well, yeah, you did say that if you didn't win it,
seen.
It would be, you know, it wasn't a big deal, and it,
okay.
And it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going into the last few minutes, let's go into the let's dip into the Prem.
Go on.
We've got some fixtures coming up. In fact, this evening Arsenal play Ipswich, so it's 4th v 19th. Like we said, Saka sideline through hamstring, and I think, you know, Arsenal should have enough to pull this one out of the bag. Ipswich Town,
I don't see no problem there at all.
You know, they've won 2 out of the last 3 top flight fixtures.
I do not.
And then, you know,
I don't see a problem there at all. Arsenal will be far too strong for Ipswich, and especially at home as well, right? And I don't know if Delap is playing because he was injured at one bit.
Okay,
Delap up front because he's quite dangerous, him, right? And he's another one who we let go.
He is 100%. I mean, you got a decent price for Delap, though, didn't you?
We did. But so, I would say it's an Arsenal victory.
Yeah, home win for that, 100%. Now, interesting game on Sunday. It's Leicester City v Manchester City.
Against us, yeah.
Leicester line 18th.
Yeah.
City 7th in the league.
Yeah.
Now, Van Nistelrooy will be looking to collect points from this one.
He could do.
I think Van Nistelrooy, what he'll do, he'll tighten it up, one man up front.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what? The home side, I think they'd like to go for it, but obviously it's an important game for Van.
It is.
He'll want to get his message across.
Yeah, he's got his connections as well, hasn't he? Because he's United connections as well, hasn't he?
I think he'll be happy with a draw, Van, for that one.
Do you know what?
Because that team right now needs some confidence. I mean, Leicester City.
Are we talking Leicester needs the confidence or us?
Well, both of them, actually.
Oh, because we at this present moment of time, right, we can do all the attacking in the world. And what happens is we let the team get one chance, and they score from it. I mean, I was there.
I think
yesterday.
That could be a lack of confidence that as well, couldn't it?
Well, I watched them yesterday at the Etihad yesterday, and City started off okay, and we went in front. Bernardo scored, but I still wasn't confident. Even though he'd scored, I still wasn't confident. Right now, Everton did nothing. They did nothing other than just sit back. They were willing to let City have the ball and whatever. They did nothing, and then they get that one chance, and the former United man, Najari or whatever his name is, who used to play for Sheffield United up front, right?
In Jan,
right? He gets the one chance and he puts it away, and then it's 1-1. City then get another chance in the starting of the second half as a penalty.
1856, right. Yeah. Going to have to move this one on.
And he went anyway and we lost. And he misses the penalty. So, it could be a draw or Leicester could get a win. So, anyway, let's move on then.
Sheffield United against West Brom.
That's a hard game.
Let me jump back when they played Burnley. Went down 2-0. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but for me, United didn't put a glove on Burnley in the final third.
Okay.
I thought, played ball out of the back, okay, midfield, okay, but end result, there were nothing there. I call that a snatch and grab win for Burnley, but, hats off to them. Scott Parker, they did them well. I'd expect United to get back to winning ways. Minutes to go, we'll jump into Preston against the Owls. 16 against 9th. Yeah, Wednesday come back from a 3-3 deficit.
Yeah, they did.
To 3-3 to draw.
Yeah.
So they'll be high on confidence.
Yeah.
Preston, managed by Higginbottom. Come on, Higginbottom. I think he's going to put one over the Owls.
Hope so.
And win.
I hope so. I would like a definite Preston win. But, like I said, anything could happen.
Yeah, on stats, Owls are edging it. I had a look at that. They're edging it just a little bit. And if Preston are going to get anything from this, they're going to have to improve the end product without a doubt.
Yeah. I go along with everything you said there. I mean, our fellow captain, like he said to me the other day, football is a funny game.
Yeah, me did read that,
Yeah.
And do you know something? We now laugh. Mm. We now laugh, though, is it?
There's nothing to laugh about.
Hey. So, we've invited Captain down here in the new year, and we're saying it live on air. This is a big, massive invitation for the captain to come forward.
He's not stepping anywhere.
We've even got a seat ready for you now.
Yeah, polish the next it up year. As well for him. Yeah, we polish it, everything ready for him. Bring in 2 bell for him as well. So, just in case things get out of hand with us, ring the bell. Ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Ring the alarm.
School bell a ring.
Yeah, so, I've hope you enjoyed the show. Covering quite a few sports
as
we do.
Yeah.
Dip in and dip out, And there's a few interesting ones to keep your eye on it, like the boxing. We want to see the boys against Usyk, the rematch, and maybe we'll get AJ against Tyson in the new year. So that's what we're wishing for. And you know, enjoy the rest of the festive period.
And I wish everybody out there a happy new year.
Yes, I am. In a bit.
Out.